our Bibles to the book of James. We're in our second week of James. I know many of you have gotten your cards. We have cards in the foyer on the table. If you're online and you can't be with us in person here in Florida, you can pick up a card online. We have them online. And you can see what we're going to be covering every single week. And so this week, we're in week number two. I don't know about you, but I love the book of James. I love the book of James. It's one of my favorites because, you know, sometimes there's a lot of books that you go through it and you're like, what is Ezekiel talking about there? I have no idea, you know? And we have to really do some searching and go into commentaries. But then you get to a book like James and it hits you right in the face. Okay, that's what he's talking about, right? So we really need to dig in because these are essential truths. But the problem can come in when we have things that are just so easy to understand. It can get a little bit like we kind of gloss over it. Oh, I know that already, so I'm just going to move on. Or I've got that already in my life. Well, all I know is, as I read through the book of James and I do this study and I prepare, I don't got this in my life, right? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can look at the book of James, even for the 20th or even the 100th time if you've read it, with fresh eyes and with a fresh heart to see what God is saying to us. So it's an amazing book, but it's also a very hard-hitting book for us. It does hit us hard. It forces us, I believe, if we're willing to go there, it forces us to look into our lives and move to maturity in our walk with the Lord. We have to first know who God is and know who we are in God, sure. But then we have to start moving forward with God. And this is the problem that we have in the body of Messiah many times, across the body, is we come to know the Lord and then we stop. And we need to move forward. We need to continue to grow in maturity. God wants us to continue to move forward. Sometimes it's all we can do to inch forward a little bit. But sometimes we run forward. So wherever we're at in our lives, let's purpose to move in the right direction, at least going forward. That's what we're talking about. Today, the topics, the conversation is on wisdom and faith. Two big, big, big concepts, right? They sound so simple, so fundamental, so elementary to us as followers of Yeshua, but I really want to challenge you as I challenge myself. As we go through the book of James, let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you about areas of your life where you may lack wisdom, where you may lack faith in matters. I think we can all say there are times when we lack some wisdom on things or when we lack faith. This is why we need to be encouraged, we need to be strengthened, and we need to learn and grow in this. I am as guilty as the next person of lacking wisdom in areas of my life, of lacking faith in the amazing God that we serve. And make no mistake, we serve an amazing God. So this is, for me, personally, it was a convicting message to write and to read back, you know, and to go through. But I pray that while it also convicts you or may convict you, that it also strengthens your faith ultimately and grows us. We want to be holy as God is holy. And that takes many times refining and growing, and that can be painful sometimes. Sometimes we can get in the way of God doing that in our lives, but let us purpose to move forward with God. So let's begin in James chapter 1, verse 5 today. I'm going to read just verse 5, and we'll stop there. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, I could literally read that verse back to myself 20 times and try to really absorb it. Sometimes, you know, you got to read and reread scripture to yourself or out loud. It's very important to read scripture out loud at times, too. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. This is the character of God. And it will be given to him. Now, the definition of wisdom, or a definition of wisdom, is knowledge of what is right or true, knowledge of what is right or true, coupled with just judgment as to action. Now, did you catch the word action in there? Wisdom is knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. One commentary I said it like this: wisdom is skill for living. Do you want to know some skill for living? Hard to go out there and live in today's world. Getting harder and harder, it seems. We need skill for living. I had a job one time. It's not this job. I had a job one time that was so difficult that I would literally pray every day. And I had this job for over 5 years. This is years ago. I would literally pray when I went into work every day. This is a true story. I would literally pray, God, help me navigate through the landmines that are going to pop up today. I swear, I would did that before the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Because the job was so difficult, so demanding, and there was such chaos, infighting, and all, you know, you name it. It was there, okay? And I would just pray, God, help me, I'm paraphrasing now, help me to have skill for living today. Help me to be careful. Help me to have wisdom to walk around the landmines that are going to be in front of me that may go off. A lot of people have knowledge. Certainly in this world, there is no lack of knowledge out there. I remember when I had to get information, I'm dating myself, I had to go to the encyclopedia. Now I go to this encyclopedia, and half of the information is wrong, probably 70% is wrong, but it's still all out there. There is no lack of information out there in the world. Tons and tons of information, but not a lot of wisdom. Now let's bring it a little bit closer to home, within the body of Messiah, right? Within the body of Messiah, tons of information out there. Do you know how many commentaries are written? I don't know. I'm just guessing. There's probably 20 in my office or more. And I'm not saying it's all bad. But there's tons of information out there, even within the body of Messiah, as believers in Yeshua that we have. But, you know, we can quote scripture. We can go and find the answer, whatever. But do we have wisdom to apply it in action in our lives? I think we're lacking that sometimes in the body of Messiah, walking out the knowledge that we have. Wisdom is just judgment as to action. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 19. We're going to hover around in James for a few minutes, and it's almost like we're getting a preview the next few verses of future weeks. But it's really interesting about the book of James, how everything seems interconnected. You could read one thing in chapter 1, and then James, Yaakov, comes back to it in chapter 2 or 4 or 5 or 3, whatever. And you're like, wow, he's reinforcing that. It's all interconnected. James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You know, we put this value in our lives on belief. And that's a great thing. We need to believe. It's the first step. But even the demons believe. We have to be better than that. We have to move forward from that. And unfortunately, a lot of us, many of us in the body of Messiah, never make it the next step. It's not enough just to have knowledge and believe. It's not enough even to quote large sections of Scripture. Now, I really believe in studying Scripture, memorizing Scripture where we can. But all that is for naught if we don't put it into practice. I truly believe in the Lord that if we put it into practice, that we would, when we encounter difficult landmine situations, right? We wouldn't get offended. We wouldn't get upset. We wouldn't ask, why is this happening to me, God? None of us are perfect. We all mess up. But what we're talking about is growing in the Lord. We all have issues. We all have things. We all have our hot buttons, and we all have our things that come naturally. Everybody's different. So it's about self-introspection. Is that a word? Self-introspection, to say, where am I? I know where God wants me to go. I know I'm right here. What do I need? What skill for living do I need to move to maturity? The Moody Bible Commentary defines wisdom as godly behavior in difficult situations. I read that and I was like, why can't wisdom be godly behavior in fun situations? I could do that all day long. I mean, when everything is going right, I'm just like walking around, you know, whistling. This is so cool. So glad. Rainbows are everywhere. The sun is shining. Everything's good in my life. But wisdom is godly behavior in difficult situations when there's landmines up ahead. Turn to James 1:22. Now, I told you, this message was very convicting for me, and I pray that it is convicting for you as well. in all the good ways, right? Conviction is good, but not if we take conviction and start flogging ourselves. Conviction is good if we take the conviction and we say, okay, God, I get it. You're trying to transform me. You're trying to grow me. I'm going to receive that and I'm going to move forward in you. That's the right way to take conviction, by the way. We all need to strive to do that, including me. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect Torah, the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Powerful few verses there. We read about loving our neighbor. You know, we read about that all the time, but do we put it into practice? It's difficult, but it's also wise and mature. Now, I heard this phrase a couple of weeks ago, and I've heard it before, and man, I've been meditating on this phrase because I think it's really important for us, because there is no shortage or absence of words out there. You go on the internet and you can read a lot of words. You turn on the TV and you hear a lot of words from people, right? We have no shortage of advice for everybody in our life. A lot of words. There is a phrase here, and it's not scripture, but it's just a phrase. And it is, idle words are the devil's playground. Have you ever heard that before? Idle words are the devil's playground. The sad part is, and I've been guilty of this as well, is that when we're not careful, even as believers, even as mature believers, we can say something, whether it's the right thing at the wrong time, the wrong thing at the right time, the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we can make it worse. Wisdom tells us when to speak and when to not speak. James 1:19. And this is a good scripture. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Woo, that's a tough one. Now listen, the wise man holds his tongue sometimes, not all the time. The wise man also speaks out in truth sometimes. The key is, this isn't a formula. I don't just, you know, have you ever, is anybody good at baking? I'm not. But I know how to read ingredients. And I still mess up the bake, by the way. But I know how to read ingredients, put the amount in the ingredients, cook it for a certain time, and out pops the food, right? That is not how we should approach the Lord. Because if we follow just a simple formula based on words, sometimes we would get it right, and that person would need to hear that word. But sometimes we do the same thing, and it's the absolute wrong thing to say to somebody. Because the difference is when to know how to speak and when to know how to keep our mouths shut. You know what the difference is? Wisdom. Wisdom tells us when to speak and when to not speak. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Man, what a good book Proverbs is, right? A proverb a day, right, keeps a lot of things away. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So usually, you know, we have 31 days or 30 days in a month. One of the things I used to do my first few years of being a believer, I don't do it anymore, but I did it, is I would read a chapter of Proverbs a day. Now listen, if that's the only scripture you can read a day, it's a good scripture to read a day. A chapter of Proverbs a day keeps a lot of things away. And Proverbs, many whole chapters in the book of Proverbs talk about wisdom. Proverbs 3, let's start with verse 13. Blessed is one who finds wisdom, and the one who gains understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Those words may sound familiar to you because we say them every week, right? Eitz Chaim, it's tree of life. So we're tying very intimately and intricately the things of God with the things of wisdom, very close together. Point number one in the message today, seek wisdom in all of your ways. That is what we need to do. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Go back one chapter. many things we could have picked out of Proverbs and kind of read about wisdom, and they're like scattered through all sorts of chapters. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, this kind of caught my eye, and I felt like the Lord said, put this in. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek for it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we don't understand the knowledge of the Lord or the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God through simply reading and acquiring information. Knowledge. That's part of it. But wisdom, remember the definition, is applying that knowledge to your life. That's where we find the fear, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's what I want, and I pray that's what you want too. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. In this world, people seek after all types of things, and a lot of it's not good. Riches, honor, position, title, fame, as well as all other types of vices. We need to be seekers after wisdom. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, I truly believe that these verses are not talking about naming and claiming riches and honor. But I believe that these verses are truly talking about naming and claiming maturity and wisdom from God. That is the key. Okay, let's go back to James now. Now we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 6. We'll continue on with the text today. We're talking about wisdom. God's going to give it to us generously if we ask him, right? Now James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So we can go to God and ask for wisdom, but the Bible tells us that we need to do it in faith. We need to do it in faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing without seeing. If we saw it all, it wouldn't be faith. There's a new song we're going to be singing in this month, and there's two new songs we're going to put into the musical rotation, right? And one of the lyrics in the song we're going to do next week, you should check it out. Next week, that was the one he was talking about, was there's a time that the person that wrote, the psalmist, I'll say, the person that wrote the song is saying, there's a time when my eyes become my faith. And the bottom line is basically, we're down here in the midst of all this craziness, and we have to have faith to believe that God is going to fulfill all these promises he's promised us throughout the Bible, without seeing it here in the now. There is going to be a time, though, as it says in the song, where we're going to have the new Jerusalem. We're going to be here in the midst of the Lord. And there's going to be no need for believing without seeing, because the belief is going to be right in front of us. God is going to be right in front of us. But until that happens, faith is believing without seeing. Faith means trusting God and his promises when it doesn't make sense. I'll give you an example of this. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the historical land of Israel was a barren wilderness. A barren wilderness, trampled on by pagans, trampled on by so-called Christians, i.e. crusaders, trampled on by all sorts of people, and the Jewish people, whom God gave the land to, legally and spiritually and in every other way, were scattered from that land for so many years, almost 2,000 years. If I was sitting here with you, and we were sitting here in America in 1776, a lot of good stuff going on in America in 1776. But if I were to tell you that Israel is going to be restored, you'd say to me in 1776, are you crazy? It's a barren wilderness. If I were to set it to you in 1800 or 1850, are you crazy? It's a barren wilderness. If I were to set it to you any point before that, you get it. You would have said, you're crazy. It's a barren wilderness. But what happened was nothing short of God doing what God does, being miraculous about things. 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. And not only reborn, it was in the midst of real landmines. Have you ever read the historical accounts? The Arabs went right into action as soon as Israel was reborn. How many wars were fought? 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. 1967, Jerusalem came back into Jewish hands. Inconceivable, maybe even 50 or 100 years before. God is the God of the impossible. This is one example of how we need to trust God and have faith, because if he's promised it, he will fulfill it. Turn to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua 21, 45 is where we're going to be going. Now, the Torah talks all about how the land came to be, the Jewish people's land, and God made the promises with Abram, Lech Lecha, go out. Obviously, the Abrahamic covenant right there in chapter 12 of Genesis. But then God says to Abram a few chapters later, guess what? Your descendants are now going to go into another land for 400 years and be mistreated. Da 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 da. You read that, right? You've read that in the Sinatora portion today. But then I will bring them back. Okay? Then they get back in, and the book of Joshua is all about how they go in and they have to clear out the land and take it for the Lord. And at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 21:45, it says this: not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. I'm sure if I was sitting there from the tribe of Issachar listening to Joshua and the Lord say that, I'd say, yeah, that sounds good. Here we are. But if I was sitting there in Egypt 42 years before, I wouldn't have said that. We need to be saying that in Egypt because we're in Egypt. And we need to be saying that God is going to fulfill his promises in faith. Hebrews 11:6, book of Hebrews, wonderful book. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, all about faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him, meaning God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The opposite of faith is doubt, not believing in God because we can't see it. And also the opposite of faith is fear. Fear, not believing and trusting in God when we can't see it. But the Bible tells us to draw near to him and believe and have faith. Point number two, petition God in faith. God wants us to petition him. God wants us to come to him in faith, though, when we come. Okay, now back to James one more time. James chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Now, talking about the person has to believe in faith to get wisdom. Verse 7, For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Okay, we read verse 6, not to doubt and be tossed by the waves of life, but to stand in faith. And when we doubt, though, verses 7 and 8, we cannot expect God will do anything. Now, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. What was interesting is when we read the Brit Chadashah reading, it was from Romans. Remember that? Romans 4, I believe. And in Romans 4, Shaul, when he's talking, Rav Shaul quotes this passage, the end of this passage. So I want you to catch that here. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Verse 5, and he brought him outside. God brought Abram outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And the key is verse 6. And Abram, he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And that's the quote from, you know, Romans. And I think I can definitely say this. Genesis 15, 6 is probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible. This is me. May not be yours, but it's mine. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham is a great example of someone who believed when there was no way in the natural that it was happening. Yet he still believed. And God honored that faithfulness and that belief and called Abram righteous. Don't you want to be called righteous by God? I want to be called righteous by Adonai. Turn with me to Matthew 14, 31. What gets in the way of us becoming righteous before God is doubt. Matthew 14, 31. Yeshua immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I didn't read the rest of it for context, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and you probably recognize what this passage is. What's going on here is Yeshua is walking on the water towards the disciples. Remember this scene? And the disciples are like, whoa, what is going on here? They didn't first know who he was. And so what happens? Peter runs out there. He gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water towards Yeshua. Pretty amazing. But then Peter starts realizing what he's doing. And then he starts sinking. Because this doesn't make any sense. How can I be walking on water? For a hot second, he's walking on water to Yeshua. And then in the next instant, he's realizing, what am I doing? You don't walk on water. And he starts sinking. Doubt says, I can't do this. Doubt says, I can't walk on water. God tells you to walk on water, you can walk on water, so to speak. Point number three, doubt itself sabotages our spiritual life. Sabotages our spiritual life. To sabotage means to undermine a cause, to undo everything God has done. We do this when we doubt. Last scripture today. Turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 15. Now, in Revelation 3, God is instructing through James on the island of Patmos. You know, he's having this vision. Yeshua is there in the vision telling him stuff, talking about all the congregations that are popping up. And they all have different things that they're working on, that they're getting right, and that they're struggling with. But now we get to the congregation Laodicea in Asia Minor. And he says this, I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. Cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You know, that's one of those scriptures and you're like, oh, sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm lukewarm. You know, the words are for us today. The words are for us individually, our families, our congregations, the body of Messiah. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to have one foot in the door or one foot in the world, one foot with the Lord. We don't want to have one foot in the boat and one foot out the boat. We need to have both feet planted in the water, walking towards God, right? Do you want to go deeper in your life with God? Do you want to grab hold of wisdom and faith that James is talking to us about? We need to reach out and take hold because you know what God says? This is so beautiful. In that first verse we read, James 1:5, he will give generously. Not just a little bit. Okay, you've earned a little bit here. Here you go. God's going to pour it out if we come to him, seeking wisdom, seeking faith, and seeking to walk closer to him. It doesn't matter if it's on water. It doesn't matter if it's on land. It doesn't matter if you're like walking through space. One way or the other, God wants you to come to him. We don't need to worry about it. We just need to trust him, obey, work on growing in wisdom, and work on transforming our lives to be more like him. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we seek your face. We seek your ways. Lord, we help us not to just read the words, but put it into practice. Help us not to just acquire knowledge. I mean, knowledge is great, but help us to apply that to our lives. Show us ways where we can be more wise. Show us ways where we can even have more faith. Sometimes we think, Lord, I've got faith in you. But then a little bit of trouble comes. And I'm as guilty as the next person, Lord. Increase my faith, as it says in the scripture. Increase people's faith, Lord God. Grow us, develop us, guide us and direct us, Lord, so that we can grow in wisdom, so that we can grow in faith. It's all about you. And it's all about who we are becoming in you. So, Lord, I just pray for our community today. I pray for those watching on the live stream, those here locally, those here in person, all of us, Lord God, that God would move, that you would move in our lives, that you would help us to even inch towards you or run towards you or whatever. Just get in the right direction and start going. So we thank you, God, because you give to us generously. We call upon your generosity today. We call upon your great name, your mercy. We call upon your loving kindness and your patience, being slow to anger with us. Lord, if there's ever something that comes before us, show us, God. Reveal it to us and help us to just ask for forgiveness and just move right on. And I pray, Lord God, and no matter what anyone's going through, that they would be able to bring it to you today, to lay it at your feet, and to know that you are there and you are there to give generously, Lord God. So increase our faith, grow us today, Lord God, and help us to be more like you. We thank you for your shalom. We thank you for your salvation. And we just commit our lives, our very lives, to you today, God, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen.